quickly. You know, the enemy's not happy because these guys experienced something like they've never experienced before. They've had breakthrough in areas that they've been struggling with. They've been poured out, which was our theme. You can see it on some of our shirts here, poured out. They were emptied out so they could be filled up so they can then pour out. And so we want to allow each one an opportunity to share, give a little testimony on what the Lord did. Again, not to brag on these guys, but really to brag on the Lord. I mean, I can brag on these guys just in awe and how they stepped out in faith and moved. And, you know, we've become a really close, tight-knit family, really. And it's stuff like this, like camp and getting together, that helps us to grow stronger together. And I'm going to stop talking and let these guys talk, and then maybe I'll talk a little bit more, depending on what they say. We'll see. So do we want to just go down the line, or do we have a volunteer? Volunteer. I noticed Nicholas is standing. Nicholas wasn't even here because he wasn't feeling well, so he's standing a little to the side. So I think he's going to go last, right? So that way nobody else has to touch the mic after him, all right? But definitely continue. We appreciate, I said I was going to stop talking, but I'm still talking. I'll say one more thing. I'm sorry. We appreciate all the prayers that you guys prayed for us throughout the week. But now's not the time to stop praying for them. These guys are tender. Their soil is freshly tilled. And like I told them yesterday coming home, they're in a situation where both tares and wheats can be sown. You know, the enemy wants to sow in the tares while the Lord's sowing the wheat into their lives. And we want to prevent that. We want to stop that. We want to cancel that in the name of Jesus. So continue to pray for these guys that they would continue to grow and mature and they would have a harvest and a fruit that is of the Lord. So now I promise I'm going to stop talking for a little bit.
All right. Hello, everyone. My name's Luke. I sit over there in the back. Yeah. Well, anyway, this is actually my first year going to YEX. And I'm not going to lie, whenever I got in the van or in the truck, I wasn't really expecting much. I was excited because I got to hang out with my youth group, which, you know, they're all great, great people. I appreciate them. Yeah. So I got two main points here that I want to share. One was whenever I went, my faith, it increased, like a lot. And I think it started on, like, Tuesday night, whenever I think Pastor Deborah, and I don't even know if she's a pastor, but she went up there, and she asked us if we really wanted the Lord to start praying. And in the moment, I was conflicting with myself, and I was tired of being a lukewarm Christian, you know, just being there just to be there. I didn't want to do it anymore. So she asked us to raise our hands, and most of us did. I did. And then she asked us to pray in tongues. Never done that before. And, you know, at first I was thinking to myself, okay, so I'm going to lift my hands and just, you know, see what comes to me. And all of a sudden my mind goes blank. And I start saying things like, I don't know what it is. It just, it's coming out. And whenever that happened, the sore throat that I had for like that entire day, it went away after I was finished. And for the rest of the camp, I kept paying attention to things like that, where people were praying or speaking in tongues, and then right after they were healed. It was truly amazing. It helped me a lot. And the second thing that I wanted to share was that God also gave me some clarity on my future, I think. Yeah. Where do I start? Tuesday night, again, same night, you know, after the speaking in tongues thing, they asked us to come up again if we truly wanted it. And I was going up there, and I had my hands out. You know, they had the piano playing. I was praying. And this guy walks up to me, and he's telling me all these great things, like, you're going to be a leader. I see you being like David in your future, being filled with courage and the word of the Lord. And that's the first thing that I got. Second thing was, I think Thursday night, when again they did like an altar call, and they called me, or they called for anyone with physical healing, because I kind of spread a cold to like everyone. So, you know, I wanted to get rid of that. See? And yeah, I was going up there for physical healing. And I go up there, I close my eyes, and I start, you know, asking God, you know, please heal me, you know. And I'm up there for a little while. And next thing I know, everyone that was asked to be healed was gone. And I'm the only one up there. And I don't realize it because my eyes are still closed. And, you know, nobody's prayed for me because they were like, you know, praying for each other or for the sick. And next thing I know, where I'm standing is where the worship leader group is. And as soon as the pastor's done talking, I get the first guy. He tells me that I'm going to have a lot of confliction in my life coming up, preaching to people as a leader. And it's going to happen. It's going to be hard, but I can pull through. And the second guy, he kind of said the same thing. And he was, you know, but this guy was speaking mostly in tongues. But yeah, he said that if I really want to be a leader, I need to step out of my comfort zone, and it's not going to be easy. And then the third guy came. Now, this guy's a curveball, because I just went up there for healing. I wasn't up there for the worship leader altar call thing. And this guy, he comes up to me, and he's like, okay, how many instruments do you play? Instruments? Me? None? And he goes, okay, it's fine. It's irrelevant. And he goes, what's your favorite worship songs? And again, I'm like, So I just say, Matthew West. And he tells me that he saw me in my future playing piano for my church. And whenever I do, I change the atmosphere. Anytime I walk in a room, the atmosphere changes, and you can feel the presence. And that was awesome. I wasn't expecting it, but the cool thing is I've actually considered playing piano and guitar. And I love music, so God really made that clear for me, and I appreciate it. It was great.
Well, mine's not necessarily, like, I don't have any notes or anything. Nothing really touched me. And, well, something did touch me. The Lord did. Let me rephrase that. this entire week, I was feeling like camp wasn't really, you know, getting to me like it did last year. And, you know, I was praying. I was like, Lord, what's going on, you know? Like, last year I was bawling almost every night. What's going on? And it wasn't until Thursday, when they were talking about baptism, and it didn't matter if you were baptized a couple times already, you know, you could get baptized again. And I was like, okay, cool, let me get baptized again. And so I did, and I went into the lake. Everybody was telling us, you know, that there's really sharp rock, watch out for the rock, you know. And of course, me being me, I was the only one that stepped on the rock. and I didn't feel anything at first. Like, I was just fine. And coming out of the water, my foot started to sting really bad, and I was like, what's going on? And I look at my foot, I sit down and look at it for like a few seconds, and I start freaking out because I have a giant slice on my foot. And I was like, and then at that point I start crying and hyperventilating, so they took me to the nurse, and she fixed it up real good. You know, she glued it shut. And I was still in a lot of pain, like walking around, quite a bit of pain. And I was mostly worried about the next day, Friday night. We had tried out for Talent Surge on Monday, and we were supposed to perform Friday in the morning. And I was like, what am I going to do, you know? Like, my foot is in pain. How am I going to dance? And I remember thinking, you know, that must be just Satan trying to stop me from dancing. And I was like, well, that sucks for you, because I'm still going to dance. I don't care if my foot hurts. What's your problem? So Thursday night comes around, and actually we were all going up to the front for, like, the healing, like the, what was it, like, power of healing or something? Gift of healing, yeah. And I went up there because that sounds cool, you know? I want that. And I remember I was up there, and this guy was, like, two people behind me. I turned around for, like, 2 seconds, and I made eye contact with him. Immediately turned back around to pay attention because some guy was talking. And he grabs me, and he said, yes, you did. You grabbed me. You grabbed me. He grabbed me. And he kind of tugged me a little bit. And he was like, hey, let's go. We're going to go pray for your foot. We're going to heal your foot. I was like, what? I said, he was like, we're going to heal your foot. And he told me to sit down on the ground or stand, whatever. And he got Hannah to come with us. And they laid hands on my foot. And he was praying. And then he told me to pray for myself. So I did. And declaring declaring stuff over me, like, I will be healed, you know. You know? And so I did, and that night, like, after we had prayed, my foot was almost completely, like, healed, you know? And going to bed then, I had, like, no pain whatsoever. And then waking up, no, oh, okay, she did lie. So waking up the next morning, my foot was in excruciating pain, like I could barely walk, and I remember every step I took, I cried. And so we were getting ready in one of the bathrooms to change for the dance the morning, and I remember I was praying to myself. I wasn't praying out loud or anything. I was like, Lord, if you're not going to heal my foot completely, at least take the pain away while I'm dancing. Because that's the only way that I'm going to be able to dance, is if you take it away while I'm dancing. And so that moment comes when we're on stage and we're getting ready to dance. My foot is still in pain, and I'm like, Lord, please take this away while I'm dancing. I don't know if I'll be able to spin or any of that. And the moment that the song comes on, the moment that I step out to start dancing, is the moment that the pain is completely taken away. And I started dancing and running and jumping and all that jazz. And we ran down the stage, and the moment I got off the stage, the moment the song was done, the pain was back, and I was like, oh, darn. but in that moment, like I had asked, he had taken it away completely, and I remember after that I started crying, not because I was in pain, but because the Lord had answered my prayer, you know? Where was I going with this? but yeah, he is faithful. And right now, I don't have any pain whatsoever. Like, I could bend my foot, slam it, you know, all of that. It's completely gone now. Like, it's just a little uncomfortable because the way the lady glued it, she left like a giant lump of glue on my foot, so it was kind of uncomfy. But anyways, that's all I had to say. Here you go.
Oops, sorry. Gotta use the podium, about to preach. Nah, just kidding. So camp was a little different for me, mostly because I went with like my mind being like, I'm so old. This is not going to have any effect on me. I'm just here to pray for people, you know? No, but I was open-minded. But I got to camp, and the theme this year, right? Theme, I think is the right word, is poured out. We have these cute shirts, you know, they say it, whatever. But the verse to go with it is Acts 2, 17. Yeah, so I'm going to turn there real fast. I did not have it marked, sorry. Okay, and it says Acts 2, 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, God said, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Woo! So I was not originally going to talk on this, but then the song came on, Fall Afresh, and worship was just so good. And it says, pour in me to overflow. And I was like, oh, camp, pour in me. So I was like, okay, Lord, like, guide my words, because now I don't know what I'm going to say. This is not what I had prepared. So the whole entire time, the first night, like Monday night, we get there, we're excited, we have that camp sort of like we're going to go. And the first message is about that verse and pouring into me. And so he talks a lot about the Holy Spirit. He has 3 points. The first point being, oh, it's all about the Holy Spirit pouring into me. I don't know if I said that. But the first point was recognize the power of the Holy Spirit versus the power of the world's power. Yeah. So he said that the world's power will point you to man, and the Holy Spirit will point you to Jesus. So whatever you're doing, and if you're questioning, oh, is this really for God? Well, where is it pointing you? Is it pointing you to the world, to man, or is it pointing you to Jesus? So I like that. Number two is recognize the power of the Holy Spirit and how it gives you freedom. So if you're feeling like whatever you're doing is putting you in bondage and it's not freeing you, then is it really from the Holy Spirit? Is it really pouring into you so you can be poured out? Number three was recognize the importance of surrendering to the Holy Spirit. This is the part where I was like, I surrender all the time. What do you mean surrender? Like, for me as a dancer, I'm like, I pray every time I am about to dance, I repent, I go through the motions. And that's kind of what it felt like, is just going through the motions, and it wasn't really like I'm surrendering, but to me, in my mind, I was surrendering. And so that was like, God, what do you mean surrender? I do that all the time. But he was showing me that I had these walls built up of where I allow myself to surrender in these kind of portions of my life, but then in these I was built up, and I was like, I'll surrender this much, but this you can't touch. So that, like, rocked my world, because the Lord was speaking to me, and he was like, I'll take this, but I need this too. And I was like, oh, I don't want to give you that. That is something that I've dealt with since I was 4. That is baggage that I carry. Oh, sorry. That is something that happened to me when I was 4. You didn't want me to let that go. And I'm going to cry. Okay, cool. So there was some trauma that I had dealt with when I was a child, and for me, I forgave that person, or I thought, but I was still blaming what happened to me when I was a child. All of my life, I would act out, and I'd be like, that happened to me when I was a kid. That's why I do these things. God, this happened to me when I was 4. That's why I act this way. And you should know that, because you were there and you saw what happened to me. So after that, the kind of battling with God, I was like, okay, so how do I surrender all and not be completely broken? And I'm being so vulnerable right now, sorry. Because I was like, I'm going to be broken. Once I tear down these walls, I will have nothing. And it wasn't until Wednesday morning, which, if you've ever woken up with a bunch of girls, the first thing you want to do is not go sit in an hour-long service at 8 a.m, you wake up with these grumpy girls who are also angry, and then you have to sit in a service and listen to the everyone else. It's like, really, God, you're going to speak to me now? It's really early. So, sorry, I coughed directly in the mic. Okay. I'm just kidding. It wasn't Wednesday morning. but Wednesday morning is when I did this huge altar call, and I kind of, like, my walls were completely torn down, and I was like, God, what is going on? Because if you want me to surrender this much now, I need to walk in you, and I need to be poured. I need you to pour into me if you want me to pour out to others. And so, you know, I was talking with God. You know, Wednesday was really good. And then Thursday night, I'm jumping around, sorry. I hope you're getting it all. So Thursday night, there was a lady. Her name was Mary, and it was a four part message, and so there was four different speakers that kind of gave like a brief little topic. So Mary's was about the truth and how uncomfortable it will feel when you feel it, and how even when it's uncomfortable and hard, it's still the truth. And so even when you're letting go of things, it's still the truth. And how pruning will be difficult and hard and ugly, but it's still going to happen. It's still going to be the truth. It's still going to be what God wants for you. So I was like, oh, cool. Like, it's going to be painful. It's going to be uncomfortable. That's exactly what I just went through. That's awesome. Glad that's normal. So then she gives the verse, Psalms 51, 5-6. And she said, even in the places where you've hid things for so long from God, he'll speak to you, and he wants those. So the verse says, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you will make me know wisdom. So I kind of felt like, for me, that was kind of my moment of, I wanted the deep deposit from Jesus that I had been longing for so long, but I didn't feel comfortable enough to break down my walls. So that verse really spoke to me, and like even in the hidden parts where I didn't want anything to do with him or anything for him to touch those areas, though I loved him in my entire life, but I was like, not this part. This verse really showed me that even in the hidden parts, he wants to touch me and heal my heart and give me wisdom. So, yeah, that's all I got.
Okay. So, I was not going to come today because I... yesterday I had a 100.9 fever, but I'm going to say 101 because that sounds more dramatic. But, yeah, so I went to camp with like a sort of stuffy nose already Monday through like Wednesday. I had to blow my nose a bunch. Thursday and Friday I was good. And then I got up Saturday, a little congested. And by the time we got back to church, I was full on fever. And then last night I went home and I fell asleep like 10 times for 20 minutes each time, which is not good because it was not comfortable. But I went to my room, turned on some music, and I prayed for myself, and I was not cured. I prayed like 5 times. I wasn't fully cured, but my head hurt a lot less, my stomach hurt a lot less, so praise God for that. And then I woke up this morning, my head... I was lightheaded a bunch, but my stomach didn't hurt at all. My fever was gone, regular 98.5. So yeah, I was at home. So the main two things that were happening were I was really lightheaded every time I'd stand up or walk anywhere or even sitting down sometimes, and my ear, which is still kind of happening, had a lot of pressure on it, and every time I would yawn or like burp or something, it would like my ear would do a thingy, and it would hurt. But that hasn't happened in a while, so I think I'm okay. So yeah, I wasn't going to come, and now I'm here to talk. So God didn't really do much for me. He just changed my life a little bit. So I have a lot, but I didn't write down everything that happened to me. So I'm going to be saying I think a lot because I don't remember what day everything was, and I'm probably going to miss a little bit, but that is okay. I got something renewed in my life pretty much every day of camp, and I feel more in tune with God than I ever have. So I'm happy about that. Monday wasn't really anything special. I didn't. Monday was the least eventful day of camp for me. That was the first night I got there, and I was excited. And I think I was more excited just to be at camp than I was really for anything, like to talk to God or anything. I was more just in the excitement of camp. I didn't really get much out of Monday other than like, oh, that song really spoke to me. I like that song. Tuesday night is where it gets crazy. Tuesday morning was when it gets crazy. I had a little introductory statement that I told my mom about, and she cried as soon as I said it. So I told her I went into camp looking for a word, and I left looking to give a word. So Tuesday morning, I don't remember. There was a teaching, and I don't remember if it was the main idea or part of it, but it was letting go, surrender, let go, you know. So I wrote down some things I have to let go of. I wrote, let go of my music, because I really like music. But I had gotten to a point where K-Love and all just Christian music sort of started to sound boring to me. I got really tired of it. It felt very repetitive. K-Love plays the same, like, 10 songs every hour. So I got tired of it. When I get in the car, I change the station and stuff to, like, Link FM, something, you know, secular music. And I made a playlist. I had 271 songs, all secular music, that I would listen to whenever I was listening to music. And I knew that was bad, and I would tell myself several times that this is bad. I need to stop listening. I need to get back on my Christian grind. So I would go back, and I'd have periods where I'd be like, okay, I'm only listening to Christian music now. But in my mind, I literally said, I'm going to keep this music here just in case, which is the wrong mindset to have. It should be, I'm going to let God have it, and then he will give me what I need. So I let go of my music, and I don't remember if it was Tuesday or Wednesday that this happened, but I had made up my mind one day, and I had surrendered everything, and I went on my phone, and I deleted the playlist, completely gone. So I don't have any secular music anymore on my anything. So yeah, that's the first thing. I have let go of my music. Then I have let go of my priorities, which is priorities over God. I'd go home, I'd be more focused on other things other than, or just in general, my entire life. I've been more focused on playing video games or watching TV or something than reading the Bible or praying or anything like that. So I need to redirect. I told myself I need to redirect my life. I need to make this my priority. Studying the Word, praying to God, talking to Jesus, you know, that stuff. So I wrote that down. I wrote, let go of my bad relationships. So if I have friends who I talk to who I know are not good for me, I know they're not who I need to be around. But I would not care because they're my friends. I don't want to let them go. You know, it's hard to let them go. But I made up my mind that. Which I haven't talked to any of my friends other than these guys in a while. But I told myself I'm going to let that go. I'm going to let go of them. I'm going to admit this to them. And if it doesn't work, then bye-bye. I don't need you. I wrote let go of my embarrassment, which is referring to in school. Let go of my embarrassment to speak about my religion, to minister to people, to sort of preach, I guess. Because I've had some opportunities where somebody's asked me, like, what's this wristband for? And I've sort of, like, brushed it off, not said anything about it. When I knew, I was like, this is when I could say something, like my story, you know? I could say something, I could help them. But I didn't, because I was embarrassed of what they might think of me. And then I have let go of my anger. I get very angry sometimes for things that don't really matter that much. Or maybe they do matter, but I keep that anger for longer than it needs to be. That's something I need to let go of. And that night, I wrote down all those things, and that night was the night that I had committed to that. I wrote on the top of the page, this is the night that I gave everything up, and this is the night that I let everything down. and I went up to the altar. I think this was today. And there was a song they were playing. We were up there. Or I was up there, I don't remember. But it was, the lyrics were, "I just want you, Lord, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you." And I like that song. So I started singing that song, and I got really into it. I started crying a bunch. And then I got down on my knees. And this might not have been this night. It might have been a different night. But I got down on my knees, and I started singing the song. And I was so in it that I couldn't really pay attention to anything else. I was just singing the song. I couldn't pay attention to anything other than, like, the music here. And I was just thinking about it, because whenever I sing, like, the songs, I have a hard time thinking, like, okay, this is me singing from my heart. Because a lot of times it feels like I'm just singing because that's what the song is. But I was thinking, I was like, this is really me. This is me singing what I actually want. This is I meaning what I'm saying right now. And a guy comes up to me, cool guy, he dances in the aisles all the time to worship the Lord, he's really cool. But he comes up and he prays for me, and he says, I don't remember exactly what he said, but he says something along the lines of just, you did it, you're free, you're free under, you, Jesus is so proud of you, because you've given, you surrendered everything, and because you're, now you're ready for him. He said, except he said it so much more elegantly. But that, you gotta remember this, because this is gonna be important later. But he told me that. And I could not stop crying, because I was like, proud of me, little old me. I didn't do anything. But I could feel in that moment that, like, I was just in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and it was so cool, because I've felt the Holy Spirit before, I think, you know, but it's never been like I'm completely overtaken. I can't stand. Except for one time, like, 4 years ago at camp. 4 years ago. But I don't know. That was a little different, I think. I think that was more me wanting God, so I pretended like I had it until it felt real. But this was completely different. That was Tuesday night. Crazy. I feel like I'm speaking very, like, chill right now. And in my head, I was being very excited and upbeat about everything when I said it. But I'm wearing sweatpants, so I can't really... Wednesday night was a little bit wild. Wednesday night was the night, it was the night I was up there, and they were doing a lot of healing, and they were doing some altar calls, but everybody's already up there. He said, if you need healing in your, I think first thing he did was hip, raise your hand. And there was a girl next to me who raised her hand for, she needed healing in her hip. And I was like, I'm here. Time to do this. So I put my hand on her. We laid hands, like me and three other guys. And I prayed for her. There was another guy there. He was on the leadership team, I think. But she was next to me. So he prayed for the same girl at the same time. He was speaking in tongues. And I was verbally, you know, praying in regular words. Very jealous of the guy. He was super... he was super anointed. I wanted to be like him. But, I prayed for the girl, and I forget who it was. I think it was Pastor Eddie. He had said, sometimes you got to pray like two or three times before healing happens. So we prayed for the girl one time, and he was like, do something you couldn't do before, see if it's better. And the girl had done, I don't know what she did. I didn't see her do anything. But she was like, it's a little better, but I still feel it. And we were like, well, do you want us to pray for you again? And she was like, I don't know. And I said, we'll be safe. And we prayed for her again, just to be safe. And after that, she said her hip was completely healed. There was no more pain. And so I'm going to say this a lot. And when I was explaining to my mom and dad yesterday, I have a lot of trouble phrasing this. And because it's not me healing. I'm praying Jesus is healing. But I'm having a really hard time phrasing it. Just in my mind, the way I say it, it sounds like I'm healing. I'm not. So if I accidentally say something wrong that puts glory anywhere but Jesus, somebody yell at me, call me out, I'll fix it. Then there's another thing. The next thing he did was for feet. If your foot or ankle is hurting, raise your hand. And I looked around. I didn't see anybody. Well, nobody here. I guess I get to just watch. And then I turned around, and there's a guy right behind me who was raising his hand. And I was like, next one. So this guy, the same guy who was speaking in tongues, came over to show off because he had to be better than me. we both prayed for that guy again. He spoke in tongues. I prayed verbally. But it was very interesting because I had prayed for him and I knew what I wanted to say because I didn't know what was wrong with the guy's ankle. All he said was it's hurting. So I didn't know what to say. But so I just started talking, praying for him. And at a point, I started to pray so fast that my mind didn't have time to think of the words to say next. I didn't know what I was going to say next, which I didn't speak in tongues, but I was praying, like, in the Holy Spirit, because I was speaking good prayer, pretty good prayer, if I do say so myself. But I didn't know what to say, but I still said it. But it was a very powerful prayer. We only had to pray for this guy one time, and he was like, yeah, it's completely healed. So I was like, ooh, on to the next one. Then he did, the guy says, if you have a hurting wrist, and this one's wild, this one's crazy. He says, if your wrist is hurting or your hand is hurting, he specified arthritis, I think. But he said wrist overall. And so I saw a kid over here. He's over here. I was here. He was there. There's a little wall of people between us. He sort of half raises his hand because I think his wrist is hurting, but it wasn't arthritis. So he like half raised his hand. I tapped on the shoulder. I was like, you need it? He was like, I do. And then I was like, okay, this time I told the guy speaking in tongues, I was like, hey, this guy needs it. You got it. So he walked over and prayed for the guy. He was praying in tongues. I prayed in my mind. I didn't pray out loud. But I would do the little, yeah, like agree with the guy. Agree. Because the guy was speaking, he was like half tongues, half English on this one, which I appreciated because I wanted to know what he was saying. So I had my hand on the guy with the hurt wrist. And I had seen him sort of like poke his wrist. He was like, because we were like, you need prayer. And he's like, yeah, it hurts right here. And he would poke it, and he would wince away when he touched it. So I was like, okay, his wrist is hurting. Keep that in mind. So the guy, he had his hands up. He was receiving, you know. I could tell something was going on here. And I look, I have my eyes closed. I open my eyes, and I see him holding his hand. He's like, he's facing me. His hand's right there. And I go, and I grab his wrist, like, really hard. And I was like, I hope he's better, because if not, he's in a lot of pain right now. But we let him go, and the guy was done praying. We let him go, and he goes, it's gone. And I was like, it's gone? He says, it's healed. I said, yeah, it's healed. I'm going to tell him what it was. You don't want to worry. He said it was a cyst that he had for 2 years in his wrist that had been hurting for 2 years, and it was completely gone, completely just removed. Yeah, there was swelling, there was bumps. You could see where it was. It was completely gone. It looked completely normal. There was no pain there. The rest of the prayers and worship, every time I looked over, he was playing with his wrist. But it was crazy because Jesus is so cool. But I felt good about myself, not because I had healed, because I didn't, but because I knew that I had enough faith for Jesus to use me to heal, and I felt really proud about that. That was Wednesday. I called Wednesday Healing Day at the top of my paper. Thursday, I didn't tell anybody about this except my mom and dad. But Thursday, we were in praise and worship, and it was like first or second song, and I wasn't feeling anything, and I really wanted to feel something on Thursday because I was just desperate for it. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, okay, this song isn't really doing it for me. And in my mind, I said, this song is not doing it for me. Maybe in the next one. And as soon as I said that, Josiah is a kid. He led worship most of the days. He plays guitar. He got the microphone. He was like, I feel like God wants me to tell you somebody in this room. And he starts looking around the room as he's talking, and his eyes meet me, and he stops and he stares at me the entire time. And he says, I feel like God wants me to tell somebody in here that you can dance to slow songs too. And because I was in my mind, I was like, after this, they're going to do some really upbeat song. I'm going to get into it. I'm going to jump. I'm going to dance stuff. And he looks right at me and he goes, you can worship. You can dance to slow songs too. He says, they purposely did a slow song because the fast songs, they want no hype. They want excitement for God, is what they said day one. And I think that's kind of the same thing he was saying here. And I was like, that's crazy. Because as soon as I told myself, I want a faster song so I can worship, he says, you know, you don't need a fast song to worship. You can worship God to anything. And I really like that. But that is not the end of Wednesday, of Thursday night. There is a little bit of a twist here. So I think it was the morning service. We had the talent search thing every day. So a kid went up there, his name was Paul. And he had told his story. He used to suffer from depression and anxiety. He said he had tried to end his life 5 times before he is in the hospital one day, and he felt Jesus, and he said, "I'm done. I'm not coming back to this hospital." He went to YEX. He got saved. Amazing story. But they had an altar call later that day where they said, if you're suffering from depression, anxiety, come up here. Or if you feel like that's something you need prayer for. And he was up there. And I was like, but he said he was good. So what's up with that? So I kept looking at him. And I would look at him for like a minute at a time, and I'd look away for 10 seconds. But then I had to look back at him. I could not stop looking at this kid. I didn't know why. And then I eventually look, and he walks away to go get prayer because there was an altar call. He goes to get prayer. And I was like, good for him. And because I wanted to pray for the kid. But I didn't know if it was me wanting to pray just because I wanted to pray for someone or if it was God telling me to pray for him. I didn't know. And then there's a guy named Derek, which we love Derek. He's so cool. He comes and he sits next to me. There's an open seat next to me. He goes, hey, man, fist bump. I got a fist bump, Derek. That's cool. He says, hey, man, what's up? I said, hi. He asked me how the message that the lady gave, which this was Glory, I think, yeah. She had a really crazy story, a really cool story, a really cool, good message. I think the theme for the message was Hurt, Heal, Help. was the title. But Derek he asked me, he's like, how did the message feel in your heart? And I told him, I was like, it's very powerful. I really like it. I cannot relate to the story, but to like the message, but it still felt powerful. It still impacted me. I really liked it. And he says, okay. And we sit there for a little bit. We don't talk. And I told him, I said, there's a kid, Paul, the one from Talent this morning. I saw him standing over there. I kind of wanted to pray for him, but I didn't know if God really wanted me to, or if it was just me. And he looks at me, he goes, okay. And he tells me, he says, well, I was standing back there, and I looked at you, and God gave me a vision of you. And he said he saw me in a super, like, World War I, super old military general outfit on a mountain leading armies over hills. And he says, what we're going to do is we're going to go find him, and you're going to actually you are going to go pray for him. And I was like, okay. So we went to him, went to Paul, we waited for him to be done getting prayed for by the leadership guy. And Derek, while we were waiting, he said, did God give you a specific word for anything, or is it just, or what? And I said, I think I want to pray for him because I feel like he has lasting guilt of what he tried to do. He has shame for it and stuff like that, but God hasn't given me a specific word for it. So Derek prayed for me, asked for God to give me a word. He didn't, but that's okay because I think I was right. I prayed for Paul, and Derek told me, don't force it on him. Don't say, I'm going to pray for your depression. Go ask him, are you suffering? Or if I were to pray for your depression or guilt and anxiety, would that impact you? And then have them say yes or no, so you're not forcing it on them, which that's a little cool little tip I got from him. So I went and I asked Paul. He said, yes, that would help. I prayed for Paul. He seemed to really receive it well. After we were done, I sort of looked at him. I didn't say anything, and I was like, we just sort of looked at each other, and then he came in and gave me a hug, and I was like, oh, I love you too, man. I whispered in his ear, I was like, I don't know if that's what you needed, but that's what I felt like I needed to say. And then he does a little nod in my shoulder, but he was in my shoulder, so he couldn't really move his head a lot, so he was like, But I felt, I was like, thank you, God. You gave me a word, and I got to pray. Feels good. So this is also Thursday night. That was Thursday morning. This is Thursday night. Thursday night is the night. Yeah, the foot thing. This was a four-person, like Anna said, a four-person teaching. They took turns. There was an altar call. There was multiple altar calls, but one of them was those who feel led to prophesy, minister, come up. And I felt like that was me. So I went up there, I got prayer for that. I didn't personally receive prayer. It was like a general prayer. But somebody behind me, I don't know who it was, they put their hand on my back. And I felt, when I went, first time I was at camp 4 years ago, they're doing a thing where if you wanted to be baptized in the Spirit, go up, they pray for you. Somebody put their hand on my chest, and I felt a burning throughout, like, the entire front of my body. And I had never felt that again until Thursday night. Somebody put their hand on my back, and I felt the same thing, just, like, a burning throughout my whole back. And at that point, I couldn't contain my emotions anymore. And I started to pray, and it, I really felt the Holy Spirit then again too, which is, I like that. I like when that happens. And then, so we did those felt letter prophesy. I was up there, and then Pastor Reddy says, and come over here if you want the gift of healing, if you feel like you are told, are given the gift of healing. I was like, I want that too, but I'm already over here. And then he says, some of you guys are getting double dosages, that's okay. And then I was like, now I'm going. I can't not go. So we went, and I was standing up, and I, as lightly as possible, tapped Natalie on the shoulder after a while. And I said, let's go fix your foot. And so we went and sat down. She says, on the floor? And I was like, yeah, on the floor. Come on. So I told her, because Mr. Matthew had said this, and Pastor Reddy had said this a few times, he had one night he had us put our hands on our head, and we prayed. And I didn't realize that, but Mr. Matthew clarified. He said, you can lay hands on yourself. That's what we were doing, is we were laying hands on ourselves. So I told him that today. I said, touch your foot. You're going to pray for yourself, too. It's not just going to be me and Hannah, because I brought Hannah. So we prayed. We ended up praying three times for her foot before it got completely healed. Jesus healed the foot. I do have that written in big letters here. It says, entire page says, Jesus healed the foot. But we ended up praying three times. It was very cool. I was really into it. Yeah, the foot was healed perfectly fine until the next morning. But it's okay, because in the moment, it was awesome. Friday night? I'm almost done. Friday night was a very good message. It was Benny Hinn. I didn't feel anything personally touched, but it was a cool service. He had all the leaders, all like the youth pastors and leadership go up and stuff like that. And he had some people go up there. And I've seen people fall down before, but when Benny Hinn goes up to him and he's praying for, he's like singing this song. I forget the song he was singing, but he was singing a song, and he was like, he called some people up, a guy named DJ and his wife, I think. And he has a son and he has an assistant. And before he even started walking towards DJ, they ran over like they knew it was going to happen. He walks up to DJ, he puts one hand on him, and the guy just falls backwards. And I thought was really cool is not only did that happen, which is very cool, because it was such a powerful just thing that had happened, but I thought it was very cool that his assistant and his son knew what was going to happen just by them walking on stage. They'd started to run over to catch the guy. I just spit on the microphone. But yeah, it was very very powerful. He made up a lot of good points there, but that is about it for me, I believe. I think I'm done. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to set it down.
Yeah.
So can I say that by doing this, it's not showing a lack of faith, right? I know God's my healer. I know God's my protector. But there's a verse that says, don't test God. So this is not a lack of faith, me wiping down the microphone, but it's don't test God, right? So God calls us to use wisdom and guidance, and I appreciate that Nicholas is here to share his testimony that fire is burning so bright inside of him that not even going to let sickness stop him, and that he's keeping his distance. Again, don't look at this and be like, well, Matthew doesn't believe in healing, or Matthew's like worried about it. But no, just trying to be prudent and use wisdom. Oh, okay. You're good? You're good? Yeah, the kids did cover a lot. The teenagers did cover a lot. And I know it's getting late, and I appreciate you guys' time, so I'll try to be quick because there's a few things I think I want to share. Because, like I said in the beginning, you know, God's doing a work on these guys. And they are fertile soil right now, ready for the work of God to continue to grow in them. You know, they've just gotten a taste, a sampling. They've been I've been in boot camp, really, you know, spiritual boot camp all week. And they're exhausted. We're exhausted. So the, you know, the body's a little susceptible, and the enemy's going to try to take advantage of that. And so continue to pray for these guys, not just for their spirits, but their bodies, that, you know, a hedge of protection that, is there something to say? Okay. Well, go ahead and say what you're going to say.
So you see four kids here. We took nine. Two of them are spending time with their family, which is really cool. One of them, their mom got out of the hospital, praise the Lord, and she's spending the day with her mom. So that's a big praise the Lord there. There's still some healing to do, but the other, how many is that? Seven? Other three? Yeah. The other three, and Nicholas as well, because he is sick, are under some attacks, because that's what happens. You know, God, we get a little God in us, and the devil just comes and attacks. And we've got two of them that are struggling with sickness, and we've got one that's being attacked spiritually already. And it breaks our hearts as youth leaders. So I know we say, oh, pray for them, but I don't want you to take that lightly. Press in and pray for these kids, because they have gone through a lot. The Lord has done such a work in their lives, because we love them, obviously, but God loves them so much more. I think about my own kids and that I'd throw myself in front of a truck for them if I had to. But God would do that and more, and he does all the time. And he just, I really feel like he's asking you guys to press in for these kids in your quiet time, in your prayer time, because they are. As soon as they go back into the world that we walk in every day, they're going to be attacked. I'm good. I like the tears. Just let them flow. They're going to be attacked. So I would just encourage you to really lift them up.
Amen. It was just an amazing week. Like I said in the beginning of service, words don't do justice. It's indescribable. I received healing. Many of you guys know that, or maybe you don't know, in December, I tore my meniscus in my knee and been walking with a limp and hobbling since December. Doctor said the only way this thing's going to get fixed is if we go in with surgery and we cut out the tear, because there's no way for the blood to really get there to bring the natural healing that your body's designed to do. So you can deal with the pain with, you know, over-the-counter medicines, and if it ever gets too much, come talk to me again and we'll cut it out. And so that was so Tuesday night. Pastor Deborah Ann Queen, she's similar to Pastor Asia, just a little fireball that just all over the place. I mean, she was up and down the aisles mid service, mid sermon. She gives a Bible verse and then she's 10 rows back praying for somebody. And it's like, whoa, what's going on? Come on, press in to keep the notes going, you know, because it's like, she gets to a point, she's like, I feel like there's people here who are struggling with their knee, that have pain in their knee. And there was me and like four other kids. There were like five of us that went up. I'm the only one not wearing a brace. The other all had braces in some way, shape, or form. I had brought my brace, but I was being stubborn and not wearing it. But she bent down. She's like, it was you when I got up there. And she bent down, and she touched my knee. And similar to like what Nicholas was saying, there just was this sensation, this like fire in my knee. Almost like pins and needles, you know, when your knee falls asleep or your fingers or something falls asleep, and then all of a sudden when it's waking back up and it's like you get that pins and needles. It wasn't quite like that, but that's the closest sensation for you to give you to understand what I was feeling. And she's like, okay, start bending it. Like, okay. You know, a little bit of a, I believe, help my unbelief moment for myself. And so I'm just doing this. And she's like, any pain? I said, no pain. That's not really what hurts. So then I did this, because that, I would have been screaming last week if I tried to do that. I couldn't pivot on this knee at all. So what did I do? Wednesday, we had games, we played kickball. I ran like a kid, and played kickball with these guys. And it dawned on me as I'm, because a ball guy kicks a monster of a kickball, and it's, and I just take off. And it, in my running, I'm like, I'm not supposed to be running like this right now, but nothing's hurting. And it just was, it was a testimony. I couldn't find Deborah Ann because she was there all week. I'd see her because I wanted to run her and tell her, and then she'd be gone. So I found her husband, who he preached the first night. I said, look, tell your wife, I'm the guy she prayed for knee healing. I was playing kickball. I was running, and I couldn't do that before. So I have a testimony that the enemy can't steal from me. And he tried to, because the next day it was a little sore. But I could, I can still pivot. You guys see that? I can still pivot. There was a little soreness, but I am healed, and I'm claiming that healing over my life. I got the chance to baptize a lot of these kids on Thursday. It's the first time I've ever baptized anyone. And it was just a powerful moment. I was a little worried I was going to drown some of your kids, but don't worry, they all came out unscathed. You asked Jennifer, I was like, I am nervous. I'm like, am I going to be able to pull these guys up? But it's just such a powerful moment. For a couple of them, it was their first time ever being baptized, and it was amazing to share that with these kids. I'm sorry, parents, if we robbed that from you. It was not our intention to. We got it on video. And we can definitely share that video if they haven't already. But for a lot of them, it was their second, maybe even third time, maybe more than three. Nicholas, I think Nicholas is going to be baptized every year. Because this is what the pastor said here. He said, we're not trying to write new doctrine, but this is why we're encouraging you to be baptized a second time. There's been a lot of work in your lives at this point, because it's Thursday, so a lot of healing's gone on. And so as a way to seal this work, and also as a profession of faith of the work that Christ has done in your lives, you're going to be, if you want to, it was completely optional. And we had kids that didn't, and a lot of youth groups had kids that didn't. But those that chose to, just another profession of faith, that sealing what the Lord's done in their lives. And so we do believe that the Lord's worked in their lives. They have testimonies. They have proof. I've encouraged them to write in their journals what they went up for prayer for, what happened. So that way, next week, 2 weeks from now, 2 months from now, 6 months from now, when the enemy's coming knocking on their door for those same areas, they can go back to these journals and say, no, I am delivered. I am set free. This is not something that that you have hold of me. I'll share with you. This is the last thing, I promise. I'll share with you the word that I felt like the Lord gave to me for these guys. I shared it with them yesterday. Camp for us was a Red Sea experience. And so what do I mean by that? The children of Israel were in bondage, right? Because the children of Israel had grown complacent. They went to Egypt as a small tribe to escape a famine that was supposed to last 7 years. I believe they weren't supposed to be there past that 7 years. The Bible doesn't specifically say that. That's my personal belief. Open and honest, right? I don't think they were supposed to be there more than 7 years, but they got comfortable. They enjoyed the fat of the land in an area that they weren't supposed to be. And in our own Christian walk, a lot of us have grown comfortable, but we're not supposed to be stagnant there. We're not supposed to put roots down there. And so this week of camp, and so that complacency led to bondage for the children of Israel. They got enslaved. They were in bondage, and it took them generations, because it said Pharaoh no longer remembered Joseph, so I don't think that was the son, I don't think that was the grandson. You know, it may have been the great-grandson or multiple generations, and the Bible might get specific, I meant to look it up, that's my bad, but at some point the Pharaoh didn't remember Joseph, so that took some time, and all that time led to bondage, because the Pharaoh got afraid, right? He got afraid of the power that the children of Israel have. The enemy is afraid of the power of God that is in each of our lives. And so he enslaved the children of Israel to protect the Pharaoh's legacy, to protect his land. And so a lot of us have become enslaved. Well, all this ministry that went on all week in these guys' lives and our lives and all the you know, the 500 kids that were there at camp, lives, was coming out of Egypt. And Friday morning, we had what they called a fire tunnel, where all the youth pastors lined up in two rows. And every kid walked down the center of those two rows and laid hands on 500 kids, proclaiming the fire of God and whatever the Lord put on their lives, on their minds to share over those kids. And just like the Red Sea parted, these kids went through a tunnel and they came out the other side, free from bondage, free from enslavement. But where are they now? They're in the wilderness. You know, we've left this oasis of camp and now we're back in the wilderness, because I don't mean this as judgment, but home can be a wilderness. School can be wilderness. Work can be wilderness. In some cases, even church can. In some churches, church can be wilderness, as sad as it is. And these guys are in the wilderness. And that's where the enemy's going to start whispering, saying, hey, wasn't it better back in Egypt? You got 3 square meals a day in Egypt. Yeah, you were chained. You know, they get 3 square meals a day in prison, in the natural, but they can't leave those 4 walls. So I've encouraged them not to listen to the words of the enemy, not to murmur and complain when it gets hard, because it was easy to praise the Lord surrounded by 500 people when in a fast song, jumping and dancing, right? But when you're by yourself, when you're in the workplace surrounded by secular music and secular people who are cursing and saying who knows what, in the wilderness, surrounded by enemies, can you still praise the Lord? Or are you going to listen to the enemy and the murmuring and complaining and say, you know what, maybe Egypt wasn't that bad after all, and go back? So we're praying that they don't go back to Egypt, that we don't go back to Egypt. And like I said earlier, that the tares and the wheat, that there's not a mixture in this freshly tilled soil in our lives. So we thank you, parents, for entrusting us, for entrusting the church, for entrusting us as the youth leaders to take them, for entrusting the camp, YX, to minister to your kids. It was an awesome week. We really appreciate it. We're excited to see what the Lord is going to do in their lives. We've encouraged them to fast this week, not food. We specifically said don't fast food this week. And I know fasting is something that's supposed to be done in private more. You know, we're not trying to publicly proclaim this to say, hey, look at how good we are because we're fasting. It's to, again, pray for these guys, encourage. Maybe as the rest of the family, if you want to fast with them, we've told them, you know, fast your secular music, fast social media, fast Netflix, fast the video games. It's their choice. It's what, you know, what would they come back craving? Because that's what they should be fasting. If you're coming back craving that Facebook because you haven't had a chance to see, well, you get Instagram, right? We've learned that Facebook is for the fuddy-duddies, the old farts. But anyways, if you're craving that social media because you haven't really had it all week, that's probably the same thing that you're supposed to be fasting, and same goes on for all the other technology-related things. But we're trying to keep those distractions from just coming right back in and grabbing a hold of them. So, you know, if you know your kids fasting TV, Netflix, don't turn it on in the living room this week, you know, to give a temptation for them to sit down. If you know your kids fasting secular music and they're in the car with you, silence is better, and you don't feel like Caleb, like Nick said, because you've heard the same song for the 10th time today. Silence is better than social media, or sing a praise and worship song together. I mean, in the car, worship in your car together. So we encourage you, we encourage these guys, and thank you again, and God bless you.
Father, we thank you for the testimonies that have been heard today. And Lord, like those of us that have planted flowers in our yards and dug them up and prepared soil, got new soil, got mulch and all of that, Lord, we didn't just forgotten them. We wanted to see the product of it. And we thank you, Lord, for seeing the product of our sowing and watering and nurturing. Lord, we thank you for the testimonies given today. Yeah. We pray, Father, that this will bring out plenty of fruit for all of us. Lord, I pray blessing upon everyone here today, especially for their patience and attention. And Father, that they would have a wonderful rest of the day. Bless them. We thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.